It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It's the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler alongside Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti on the updates. Phone number 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Tomorrow, Thursday, will mark the two-week warning before the NFL draft as the stage is constructed 2 hours north of me. In Green Bay, Wisconsin. We'll have coverage for you there on Thursday night. And then pick it back up at our normal hours on Friday. On Thursday's show, the Bartometer is not yet changed. We are moving the Bartometer. We are. It is going to be moved. And we won't have it the week of the draft, probably. Well, maybe the next. We'll see. But the Bartometer, the flagship segment of this program, where essentially I created a robot to rank things. 11 o'clock p.m. Thursday nights Eastern time, 8 p.m. Pacific. It's been Thursday since we started it in January of 2024. It is moving to Tuesdays. It is. Yeah, the Bartos moving to Tuesdays in 1, 2, 5, 7, 11, 16, 21 weeks. September 2nd, Tuesday, the Bartometer will have its new date, same time. But we will have it tomorrow, and I'm going to do my, with the Bartometer, the top eight picks. So we'll go from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We will do a little bit of a mock draft. I have been thinking that Shadur is going to go at 2. We'll see what the Bartometer says as I plug it all into the AI. Remember, I'm very skeptical about things that you're hearing right now. I'm very skeptical about what people are saying. I'm hearing the Browns don't like Shadur. But what does that mean? Just because you're hearing it doesn't necessarily make it true. It just means that that's what you're being told. Are you being told that because that is true, or are you being told that because people want you to say it to cover up what they really want to do? I think there's more of that going on in this time period of the NFL calendar than ever. A few other questions that we need to have answered yet in the NFL. One is, are we going to see a trade in this draft? Are we going to see a trade in this first round, I should say? We've seen second round picks get traded. That's one of the reasons I think the Steelers do end up taking a quarterback in the first round, is because while some of these guys may have second round value, They don't have a second round pick. And it's very coincidental that the second round pick that they did have was given to the Seahawks in exchange for DK Metcalf, a wide receiver. So you enhance your wide receiver room and you have Mason Rudolph throwing him the football. We have not seen a first round pick get traded yet. This would mean that this could be the first draft in NFL history that all 32 teams make a first round pick. So since they've gone to 32, there's always been some trades. Now, there were 10 total trades of the first round in 2024, including 5 first round picks moved on the day of the draft. So it's very possible we're going to start to see trades. We've seen teams trade into the first round to get that fifth-year option. There's a fifth-year option available to teams that are drafted on day one. You draft a guy in the second round, he's on a 4-year rookie contract. You draft a guy in the first round, he's on a 4-year rookie contract with a team option for year 5. The Panthers traded up to get Xavier Legette at number 32 last year. I don't think that you needed to correct me on that one.
All right.
Legette?
There you go.
Legette, did I say?
Yes.
I mean, you know, saying a person's name, you know, should be right. It was also, that was tonight's, congratulations, that was tonight's purpose mistake to see if you guys are smart.
Are you professional or not?
So good job, Carlos, the winner of tonight's game. Good job. Baltimore did the same for Lamar Jackson, I believe is the colloquial pronunciation of that. So we haven't seen a pick trade in the first round yet. Will we see that happen? A lot of big question marks surrounding the Steelers. And one being, where does Aaron Rodgers land? Now, there were some Steelers fans that thought they might see him tonight in Pittsburgh and an announcement, because Pat McAfee sold out their arena and put on a show. Jelly Roll performed. Some people from WWE came out. I saw a clip of Shane Gillis as a guest referee for a sumo match. Just like a real bro night. Now, it was called Pat McAfee's Big Night Out, except he doesn't say the word out. He says A-H-T, Big Night Out, program. I'm not really into that. I'm also not really into, like, well, I'm not really into that. Actually, that part of it bothers me. Big night. But then they cross out the out and then it's at. Maybe someone's listening that was at the show and he had a good time. I'm not saying it would not have been a good time. I'm sure I would have had a good time. I would just been going to my buddy like the whole time and be like, he'd be like, that was awesome. I'd be like, I know, but why do we got to call it Big Night At? So there was some people there that thought, hey, maybe Rodgers is going to come out. They're friends. McAfee at one point said, he's not here. I will septuple down, whatever, on my thought on Aaron Rodgers is that he will be a Steeler. It will just be an announcement made in the summer, maybe July, maybe August. He doesn't want to do any of this mini camp. There's some teams with voluntary mini camps coming up. He doesn't want to do any, or involuntary. He doesn't want to do, voluntary. He doesn't want to do any of that. He doesn't want to do any of that. And it's not just that he doesn't physically want to be there. I don't think he wants to get into a facility. The sooner he gets into a facility, the more he's going to have to, like, give himself to the coach, give himself to the playbook. The longer he's there, the more freedom he loses. The less he can just be like, hey, I know what I'm doing. The less of an excuse he has to not get on board. So if Rodgers isn't the quarterback, well, then who is? Well, there's a bunch of different people that could be. I was saying Jackson Dart would be drafted there. Some are mocking Shadur to the Steelers because this Shadur fall has become a narrative. We looked at him as a top guy. Now basically every mock has him falling. I mean, like, no higher than 9 to the Saints. I don't think he's falling. I don't. I'm very confident in my Rodgers prediction I just gave you. This, I could, you know, possibly he falls. I'm not dying on this hill. I'm not taking this one to the bank. I just believe Shedeur is going to be drafted early. And we keep talking about these questions with the Steelers and what are they going to do and quarterback and draft and what's going on. Justin Fields spoke, and he had talked about how it was humbling to be the starting quarterback for the Steelers last year, and then he got benched. The Steelers signed two guys to play quarterback last year, Russell Wilson being the veteran, Justin Fields being 10 years younger. Both of these guys coming over on one-year deals or having 1 year left on their deal. And essentially, it was giving the Steelers options to look at both guys and perhaps make a decision on next year. Well, Russell Wilson, for his whole performance, it was not good enough for the Steelers to bring back. They didn't want to do it. Fields was benched after 6 games. Even though he had a 4-2 record for Russell Wilson, Russell had some games where they scored a bunch of points. Granted, I think the 41 they put up was on Cincinnati, whose defense was bad. But they wanted to stretch the field option, and Russell gave them that better than Justin Fields. But they didn't get enough from Russell Wilson that they thought they wanted to keep him. And it seems that they didn't get enough from Justin Fields either, because they saw him for the 6 games, put him in different, like, running play situations or different packages, but they never really went back to him. It's a career that started in Chicago that didn't work out. Tried to see what he could do in Pittsburgh. They weren't interested in moving forward. He is now a Jet on a 2-year deal, $40 million. Essentially, it's like a $30 million kind of guarantee thing, and then they'll see what they do in year 2. But where Justin Fields is now, already on his 3rd team, with the team that probably should have drafted him number 2 to begin with all those years ago, he says he has no regrets up to this point.
I'm grateful for all the experiences that I've had. You know, I met a lot of great people there, built a lot of great relationships that'll last a lifetime. And, you know, I think the more time you have in the league, the more experience you have. So I think I'm, you know, progressing and getting better each and every year. So I'm excited to get things rolling this year.
I just wonder if the Steelers got it wrong, if they should have given more of a look to Justin Fields. And that's where some of these teams run into. And now the Giants trying with Russell Wilson, is that going to preclude them from taking a quarterback? Like, you gotta try to win short term, but the Steelers were not going to win a Super Bowl last year with Justin Fields or Russell Wilson as their starter. The way the team was constructed and where both of those guys are at their career, they were not going to win a Super Bowl with either of them in 2024. So you think long term. Are either of these guys going to be our guy long term? Well, Russell Wilson probably wasn't going to be. And he gave you the season we expected, and you moved on from him. But could they have been better off? And what would the outcome have been if they fully committed to Justin Fields and said, we want a full year look at you? We don't just want 6 games and then we're going to do everything we can to lose a first-round playoff game like we always do. We want to see if there's going to be enough of a two-way street here where this is the place you need to be and this is the place where we want you. The Vikings kind of did that with Sam Darnold, got a year out of him, were willing to see him walk away. The Steelers are seeing Justin Fields walk away after 6 games. And the Jets clearly paying him a handsome sum of money. And they may draft a guy, and there may be a competition, and, you know, we're it's not the guarantee that Justin Fields is starting 17 games for New York next season. But where the Steelers were at last year, I mean, if they're coming in with Justin Fields with a year of, you know, 10-7 and a playoff loss and bringing Justin Fields back, saying there was enough good there that we're building around you, now we've traded for DK Metcalf. That's different than the position they're in where they've got Mason Rudolph and anything's on the table. So would they have been better off with Justin Fields? Or at least giving him more of an opportunity. They gave him six games. He won four of them. But then they wanted to go to Russell Wilson. And ultimately, they ended the season how they've been ending the season for most of the last decade. Other things we still need to see answered here in the offseason. What is going on with Kirk Cousins? They don't want to waive their no trade clause until after the draft because they don't want to go somewhere, let's say Cleveland, and then Cleveland looks like they're going to start Kirk Cousins, and then, oh, no, actually, we are going to draft a quarterback. So they're not interested in drafting. We could see him get traded still, 36 years old, maybe the Steelers, you know. A lot of the questions are revolving around the Steelers, basically, with the rest of the offseason. Because there's another one about guys that still haven't gotten extensions yet. I thought we would see a Brock Purdy extension by this point. I thought we would see one. I thought that would be a quick matter of business for the 49ers. They're certainly shedding a lot of contract to have room to sign Brock Purdy to a $50 million-plus deal. Is it going to be 50, though? Is it going to be 55? Is it going to be 60? Where are we going to be? Micah Parsons, another guy in line for an extension. Dallas is going to probably take that one to the wire like they did with Dak, like they did with CeeDee Lamb. And then TJ Watt, who posted a picture on Instagram today of him, like, giving the peace sign in a Steelers uniform. Steelers fans going crazy about that. And I will reiterate what I always say about guys posting on Instagram is they are all doing that and then laughing at the speculation. Guys love to post on Instagram. William Contreras, once with the Brewers, just tweeted out that those eyeball emojis looking the certain way. There was nothing going on. No rumors to be had. And Brewers fans in a tizzy for a whole day because of this tweet. And he later, I believe, took it down and said, I was just bored. So I think we're in a, we still got to figure out like when social media posts are news. When they say something, I think they're news. If you tweet out something, then I think that is news. Like Joe Biden said, I'm not running for re-election in a tweet. That's news. Donald Trump changed the tariff policy on a Truth Social. That is news. That's an actionable thing that these gentlemen did. TJ Watt put up a picture of him giving a peace sign in a Steelers uniform. That is not news. Okay? That is not news. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. Big game tonight between the Lakers and the Mavericks. We'll hear from Luka Doncic on the big effort tonight. And then also reiterate something that I did not actually think it was going to happen, but it would be as big of a surprise as the Luka trade was if the other thing happened. That would not be a shock to anybody. It'd actually be a shock if they actually went through with it. We'll update you on that game and what the West looks like when we return. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. Oh, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up? That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Just an incredible scene tonight in Dallas where Luka Doncic returns 45 points he puts up. 45 points as Mavs GM Nico Harrison watches and listens to chants of fire Nico raining through the arena all night long. Luka focused somehow and was able to put up the 45 points.
I don't know how I did it, because when I was watching that video, I was like, there's no way I'm playing this game. But, you know, all my teammates had my back. They were really supporting me, so I really appreciate that.
That may be the lasting image from the night. 45 points, 7 threes. Meeting up with some players, Mark Cuban, Patrick Mahomes afterwards, sure. But they started to introduce the Lakers. They introduced the starters, LeBron James fourth, and then they play a video that starts with Luka being drafted as an 18-year-old and the career he had with the Mavericks up to the age of 25. Again, the guy grew up there, became a man there. Had great success on the court there, went to an NBA Finals there, and then got traded. And he was so overcome with emotion right away, and you could totally see it. And that was an interesting angle. That was a question that we had, as much as it was, how is he going to do against his old team? And by the way, for what it's worth, Max Christie had 11 points, Anthony Davis had 13. They are not the story tonight. Sorry, guys. But how would Luka handle the video? And he was as emotional as, maybe more so than we thought he would be.
So many emotions. Can't even explain it. You know, brought tears to my eyes. Like I said, I came as a young kid here with 18. And I know what to expect from NBA. And, you know, they made me feel like home. And it's just a lot of great, great memories.
He did not want to leave either. That's a big important part of this. He did not want to leave. And what's interesting about the NBA and sports is that the schedule will bring you back. So I think about the different stops in my life. High school, college, first job, new city, different job, new city, another job. Here, it's not like the schedule is going to have me go back to do TV news in La Crosse, Wisconsin. You can't go back. You can go back. I can go back to La Crosse, where I went to school, but I can't have that era. I can't have those same people. Luka, 2 months later, is going back to Dallas, and pretty much Dallas is the same. Outside of what happened with that trade. Oh, and they traded Quentin Grimes, who's now, like, really good, too. Another banger from Nico. You go back. You go back, it's the fans are there. They made t-shirts for you. They had a video for you. You go back. Luka talked about how great it was to be back.
Everybody saw me the way I reacted to the video. You know, all these fans, I really appreciate it, man. All the teammates I had, you know, everybody had my back. I'm the happy, you know. This guy, I love these fans. I love the city. But it's time to move on.
He's a Laker now. They clinched a playoff spot. They will not be in the play-in tournament. So they could go anywhere from 3-8. Well, now they can go anywhere from 3-6. On the other side, Jason Kidd, Coach Luka, took him to an NBA championship. Kidd on the return.
It was incredible. The fans were great. The tribute was great. Luka's performance was great. It was great. You know, that's who Luka is. I've said that as when he was with the Mavs. He's one of the best players in the world. And he displayed that again tonight.
There was also a quote he had pregame, which I just searched for it online because I did see somebody tweet about it. And I thought it was a joke. So I wanted to make sure before I said it that there was some corroboration. And, well, here's Jason Kidd saying it.
This is a business. It happens, right? Trades happen. This won't be the last trade. Some are comparing it to Babe Ruth, which is kind of cool.
Okay, so the Babe Ruth trade was from the Red Sox to the Yankees because it was, looking back, an unbelievably lopsided deal. You guys are the Red Sox in this deal, Coach. I don't think that that is very cool. Now, the architect of this trade, Nico Harrison, again, the big errors here are thinking that Luka was too fat and liked beer too much to build around him long term. Trading him in the first place. Trading him with a team that then talked you down from the package you were trying to get from them. And not proposing this deal to anybody else. Nico Harrison, the first time around, because these two teams have played each other post-trade, and that was in Los Angeles, relatively quickly after the trade deadline. And Nico was there, and Luka was there, and there was that shot where they, like, he could see him, and they both said, no, I didn't see him. They saw him. This is different, though, because that was in a building of new adoring fans. That was in a building where Lakers fans were still, like, trying to process how they got Luka in the first place. And you go to that game. This is in your building. You are serving the Dallas Mavericks. You made this trade, presumably, in the best interest of the Dallas Mavericks. You're trying to win a championship for the Dallas Mavericks and for their fan base. A fan base which was chanting "Fire Nico" throughout the night. A fan base which was there to not see your team, but to see their fallen old friend, and to cheer for him, and to give him a standing ovation, and to cheer for your firing throughout the night. And you got to think, like, while that may have been a fireable offense that night, the trade, and I don't know where ownership lies on this, there's plenty of things we can speculate about how this went down. The more that I've read about it, the more it does seem to just be straight up, this guy thought he was making a good deal and didn't. And there's a relationship between the team and its fans. And some owners don't care. Some owners don't care about the relationship between its team and its fans. Some owners assume that you'll always come back. Some owners assume that, you know, we've got enough money. We don't really need the ticket revenue. Apathy does not kill us. We exist. We're fine. Some owners really do care. So to some owners, a heartbreaking loss in a championship game doesn't hurt as much as then is when they look out in the stands and there's a few games left in the season, any sport, and no one's there because no one cares. That's worse. So the Mavs have a relationship that they need to rebuild, and I don't know that they ever rebuild it as long as Nico Harrison is there. Again, I am not somebody to advocate for people to lose their jobs. I do think there is a difference, however, between the common working person and somebody who has one of 30 jobs, in which I do believe more than 30 people could do. And how did he even get this job? He just worked at Nike and then they gave him the GM job? What? You know, some of these other guys, like, they cut tape. They learn to coach. They come up in the system. They rise through the ranks, not just fail upwards. So I think Nico Harrison should be fired, but obviously he has not been. I mentioned teams that don't care about their fans. Who was the first team that came to mind when I talked about that? For some of you, it may have been the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pittsburgh Pirates getting a lot of backlash for something they chose to do to their stadium. There was a tribute in the right field wall to Roberto Clemente. There is a wall, the 320 mark, which is built 21 feet high. So you can sit to the left, you can sit to the right, but there's a section of the wall where his logo and number sits in honor of Roberto Clemente. There's a bunch of different ways that they honor him, this being one of them. They took that down, didn't tell anybody, and put up a Surfside alcoholic beverage ad there instead. Prime real estate, that outfield wall on many a stadium is adorned with different logos, but this was clearly a tribute to Roberto Clemente. Now, there was enough of a backlash that they are going to fix it. There was a different news story that came out today regarding Pittsburgh. There were these fan-funded bucko bricks. Bucko bricks were introduced in 1999. The team sold about 10,000 of them. The bricks, and you've seen this at different places, where you can buy bricks to support the team, and then when you walk into the stadium, there's your name or somebody, you're a loved one. My grandma got one of these for my grandpa at the Precious Moments Chapel right outside of Branson, Missouri. And if you're like, Bart, you've been to the Precious Moments Chapel in Branson, Missouri? My brother, I have been there twice. They renewed their 50th wedding anniversary vows there, I believe. And then he has passed. I drove my grandma from Arizona to Wisconsin, and we stopped there to see the brick. She knew the brick would be there because usually when places do something like this, they, like, keep the brick there. Well, a bunch of these bricks that the Pirates sold were found at a recycling plant in the area. So the Pirates have rushed out to say, oh, there's been environmental factors and foot traffic and there's been deterioration and we're trying to find a better way to preserve these cherished messages over the long term. We're trying to find it. They're like panicking. We look forward to sharing the details on how we're gonna honor these people coming up soon. Yeah, you're gonna tell us in 2 weeks. I've heard that one before. We're going to hear the plan in 2 weeks. Okay. No plan. I'm a real big, as I've talked about with retired numbers. If you do something as a tribute, if you sell, you have to keep it there forever. Now, if you want to update the brick because that one faded away, you do that. But did they throw these bricks away and think like they want the brick? What's going to be? So the Pirates said, we have been actively planning to develop and unveil a more permanent display for these messages to honor the enduring support that our fans shared then and continue to share. No, they want the brick. They bought the brick. What are you going to do? You're going to have a scroll, like a LED scroll in some bathroom? Grandpa Wayne, biggest Pirates fan ever. Yeah, you gotta wait a full dump to see it go back again. His family bought the brick. They installed the brick. You keep the brick. You name a stadium for a dead coach. You don't get to sell the rights of that stadium 30 years later. Well, I don't know that anyone's going to remember. That's the name of the stadium. You retire a number of a wide receiver from 1939. Malik Nabers can't just stroll in there and say, "It would look cool on me, though." You gotta honor the past. If you honor it, you keep it honored. Unless it's a statue of the wrong side of the war. 888-710 for ISN, 888-710-4476. Here's an update from Marco Belletti. Bart Winkler Show alongside Carlos Ortiz as we wrap up our Wednesday into Thursday morning show. Bartometer on our Thursday show, 11 o'clock Eastern. Pat Boyle coming up next. Chuck in Pennsylvania coming up right now at 888-710-4ISN. Hello, Chuck.
Thank you, Bart. It's good to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you.
Yes. About the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. I've been a Pirate fan for 65 years, and it's absolutely sad and sickening what's going on with this organization. This used to be one of the great organizations in baseball. Now it's just nothing but ruins. This guy, nothing that owns him, he's lazy, stingy, and stupid, and he's a liar. If Bob Nutting was Pinocchio, his nose is stretched from Atlantic to Pacific.
This is what fascinates me sometimes is there's the perception that some of these owners for some owners, this is like a business thing. For some owners, you know, they really get into it. Some owners are just like, they don't care that they even own a team.
That's exactly what it is. This guy's a businessman. He's not a baseball man. He's not a baseball fan. We have a history of championship teams and great players here, and he just doesn't care one bit. It's all about him and his money.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Chuck, good to talk to you. When you look at the Pirates, there was success there. They've won World Series throughout their history, 1909, 1925, 1960, 1971, 1979. They had a nice run in the early 90s where they were winning NL East. But since they moved to the Central in 1994, they've had four winning seasons. And three of those were that little stretch where they kept playing in that wild card, that one round wild card game. And they get guys that come in like, you know, Paul Skeens. And everyone's like, oh, you're just going to waste them. Or where is Paul Skeens going to go when he eventually goes somewhere? It's a shame to see. It's such a great town, a great sports town, a great ballpark, some good history. And that's the one thing there is good history there. So if you can't sell the current team, you can at least sell the history. It's what the Brewers do. We celebrate the 1982 World Series every 5 years. There's a new movie about them. Oh, by the way, the Brewers lost that World Series. That's where we are at. Some of that memorabilia from that run, I did see. I ran into, but there's an estate sale by my house on Sunday. And my wife likes to go to these. And we as a family will go antiquing. But the estate sale's a whole different ballgame because you're going into somebody's house who has died. And it's like their kids that are selling their stuff. And I was like, there's a lot of memorabilia there. But I was left with a real bad taste because, you know, an estate sale, to me, we're trying to get rid of the stuff in our estate. And these people, I mean, the prices on some of the stuff that was there, I owned. And I wouldn't feel good about selling it for one third of the cost. I mean, they were out to make a profit, like a big profit, like I'm wondering what happened to the guy kind of profit.
But you think they killed him?
I don't know, dude. You should have seen some of this stuff.
The middleman markup, huh?
Because I was talking to you the other day. We had our meeting, and you had the sign behind you about catch a foul ball, the Cubs thing.
Yes,
right. And I asked you how much you bought that for, and you said what, $5?
Yeah, it was something cheap. I don't remember,
like on eBay or something.
No, I got it from one of the neighborhood shops in Wrigley a couple years ago.
Oh yeah, it's just like a cool, like vintage looking kind of sign.
Yeah, be careful for foul balls.
That exact sign I saw at this estate sale. For $120.
Kick rocks. Unless they stole it from Wrigley, what are you doing?
I mean, it was the exact same. And I'd never noticed it before anytime I talked to you looking behind and, you know, trying to get a peek at your house.
Good luck.
Because, you know, whatever. I never noticed it. But then I had just seen the sign. We had just gone to a game. I had the thought, like, maybe I will buy this for Carlos. And then it was more than the tickets cost. And I'm sure Chicago fans will think I'm cheap for that.
Pretty much.
Then there were like cards. There was a book of trading cards. And, you know, I thought it would be cool because we brought our kid and he's kind of into cards. I thought it would be cool to just like pick out 12 cards and say, what are you charging? A nickel a card? A buck a card? And they're like, no. You got to write down what you want, put the bid in this bucket, and then we'll call the people with the winning bids.
What?
I'm like, yeah.
They were silent auctioning their cards?
Yeah, so I'm like, well, how do I know what other people bid? Oh, and we're not doing it that way. Like, this place was nuts.
Oh, these
dude. People
are obnoxious. I hate them. I don't know them, and I hate them.
You should have seen their basement, dude. You know, they had like a 1980s basement, but like three different houses mashed together. It was so weird. This house was weird. It gave me the creeps. It's a nice piece of property. It's right on Lake Michigan. Your backyard is a great lake. Okay. But this house was like a maze. Everything was, I'm really off put by it. And every time I drive by this house in the future, I'm going to like be mortified. And I wanted to buy something good for my kid, but even some of the cheaper stuff, I didn't want to give these people any money. Luckily, one of the things that they had, I had, this like bucks container. So then I had to give that to my kid because, you know, I promised him. All right, thanks to Carlos Ortiz and Marco Belletti. We will be back on a Thursday night with the Bardo Meter. Pat Boyle coming up next. This is the Infinity Sports Network and the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!